Last time I was up here, I'm pretty sure I was talking about how much we need each other. How much we can't do any of this alone. Because we truly do. We truly need each other. I think that the last thing I did was I had a few people stand in front. I think it was my dad, she, and Angelica, and they locked arms. And at that point, I told Angelica to unlock, well, drop her arms. But she and my dad did what they were supposed to do. They kept their arms locked with Angelica's. And as Angelica tried to walk forward, she couldn't go anywhere. That's how bad we need each other. But then I kind of was thinking, and I'm pretty sure I said this at the time too, but we need God just as much, if not, well, no, we need God more. But the only way, God can be God is if he's perfect. So therefore, title, God don't make no mistakes. Or for those who don't like to butcher the English language, God doesn't make mistakes. I'm going to start off just by reading a few scriptures. Starting with Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I apologize, we're going to jump around a little bit. Psalms 18, verse 30. God's way is perfect. For the Lord promises, for all the Lord promises proves true. He's a shield for all those who look to him for protection. And then the next one being Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He's not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? And I believe for most of us, just hearing that would be enough. I mean, we all, to my knowledge, have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And, we are a Bible-believing church. So if it says it right here, how can it be false? But sometimes you need examples. Sometimes to go along with the pretty words, you need some not so pretty actions, I'll say. I know y'all are probably tired of me standing up here and talking about Jonah, but Jonah's story and Jonah's life just is so applicable to so many things, even now. When I say God doesn't make mistakes, I mean there's so much that we're called to do in life. And some of that stuff that we're called to do, yes, other people do as well. But sometimes there's certain things that just we are supposed to do. In Jonah's case, Jonah was the only person that could have gone to Nineveh and said, "Hey, get right, or else everything is gone. All y'all are gonna die. This place is gonna be gone. It's not gonna work. You have to change your ways." I believe the only person who could have done that was Jonah. God set it out for Jonah to be that person. God doesn't make mistakes. if for no other reason, God sent Jonah because God knew what Jonah was going to do. Just because we are set up to do something doesn't mean we always want to do it. It doesn't mean that it's always going to be sunshines and rainbows. Sometimes we take our own little detour. Jonah took his own little detour. And guess where he ended up? Doing exactly what God wanted him to do in the first place. God doesn't make mistakes. I don't know if I'm going to read it all or just end up paraphrasing it. But Daniel 6, and I'm going to just start at the beginning and just read to my heart's content. Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to advise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Yeah. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance is finding grounds for accusation, for accusing Daniel, will be in connection with the rules of his religion. Find that funny. Because when you're as good of a person as Daniel was, it's like the only way you can get him is through his religion. The only way you could get him is through trying to find fault in what he believed in. So they were kind of smart in that way, I guess. Well, but I think we all know how this ends. So the administrators and the high officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We are all in agreement. We administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders for the next 30 days that any person who prays to anyone divine or human except you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And I'm kind of going to paraphrase the next few. So essentially at that point, of course, Daniel learns about this. Daniel does what he knows he's supposed to do anyway. He goes and he prays, because he prays three times a day, as was per his religion. And he prayed to his God. And of course, all the officials come and they're like, oh, look what Daniel's doing. He's breaking the law. They go to the king. They tell the king, Daniel's breaking the law. The king at this point is like, man, I've messed up. I've made a mistake. King's human. King's not God. The king knew he made a mistake and tried to figure out a way out of his mistake. He couldn't find a way out of his mistake. So he had to decree that Daniel be thrown in the lion's den. Being the king, he is accustomed to certain, I believe what the Bible uses is entertainment. That night, he didn't want to be entertained. He could not sleep. He was so worried about Daniel, knowing who Daniel was, and even who the God that Daniel served. He was so worried about Daniel, he couldn't sleep. He couldn't do anything else but be concerned for Daniel. So very early the next morning, of course, he gets up and he goes to the lion's den and he's like, Daniel, please be there. Please tell me your God saved you. And Daniel's like, yeah, I'm here. I'm good. No big deal. I serve the true and living God. You can't do anything to hurt me unless God allows it to happen. God found a way out of the king's mistake. Why? Because God doesn't make mistakes. And even with that, God still gets the glory out of all the rest of it anyway, because, and I'll read verses 24 through to the end. Then the king gave orders to arrest the men who had maliciously accused Daniel. He had them thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. The lions leapt on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. Then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed. His rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. God knew what was going to happen. God was all-knowing. And in all that, God cleans up some mess. God knew he didn't need all those officials. He allowed them to be appointed for such a time. But God knew he didn't need them all. So he used them to prove a point. His point was, hey, don't mess with me. Don't mess with my people. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. Now I'll go to Genesis 6. And I'll just read verses 5 through 8. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth. He saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. The Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing. All the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, even the birds of the sky, I'm sorry I ever made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord. How awful to think that God was so disgusted with us. How awful is that? How awful is it to know that he wanted to destroy us all? Now, maybe not us in particular, of course, but had he had done it, we wouldn't even be here. So how crazy is that? How crazy to think that he spent all this time, well, at least in our minds, all this time making us and who we are and everything that, you know, that we could possibly do. We can raise our arms, we can flail our legs, you know, we can breathe, just for him to get rid of all of us. I think God kind of just wanted to show off a little bit, to be honest. I think God was like, yeah, this is the way I feel about you guys, but I know there's got to be one. Amen. I know there's got to be one. And God already knew that there was going to be one. God knew that there was going to be Noah, and he was going to be faithful. Regardless of whatever happened, God knew that Noah was going to sit there and look crazy and build this giant boat that was supposed to, that didn't look like it was going to go anywhere. Nobody had ever seen rain. Nobody had ever seen anything like even close to rain. I think in chapters before, it says that the water came up from the ground and it was a mist, and that's how everything got watered. Never come from the sky. So when Noah's telling all these people that, hey, it's gonna rain, how crazy does that look? How crazy does it look to say something that has never happened before, that you don't ever think could happen? Like, of course everybody looked at Noah like he was crazy. But Noah had cheat codes. Noah had God on his side. Noah was given a little hint. And God was like, hey, look, I'm going to use you because you're my one faithful person. I'm going to have you build this boat. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of work. But I know you. You got this. You got this. You got this. It's got to be this big. Got to be this wide. Got to be this tall. He gave him all the dimensions. And he said, no matter what, just keep building. No matter what they tell you, just keep building. No matter what happens, you keep telling them it's going to rain. None of them are going to believe you. But you keep telling them. Tell them it's going to rain. Look as crazy as I need you to look. Just keep doing it. And that's what he did. God doesn't make mistakes. Noah eventually took his family, took two of each animal, got on the boat, and what happened? It rained. God doesn't make mistakes. God's all-knowing. God's omnipotent. I looked it up while I was in the back because I meant to look it up earlier, before today. But omnipotent means having unlimited power, able to do anything. We serve a God that can do anything. If God's told you something, God's going to do it. If God says, hey, we are going to prosper as a church, guess what? We're going to prosper as a church. It doesn't matter what everybody on the outside says. It doesn't matter what, you know, even some of the people who have come in here have said. God has set us up with leaders who truly believe in what God has told us. Without them, I don't think we would be where we are today. I definitely wouldn't be standing up here. You know, Shishi asked me about 10 years ago to stand up here before you guys. And I looked at her like, what? What do you mean you want me to go up there and give the word? I don't want to do that. I think that's what I said in my head. Those words definitely didn't come out of my mouth. Only words that came out of my mouth was, okay. But God knew. God knew what I needed. Back then, standing up here in front of you people was the scariest thing to me. Standing up here and not knowing what to do, what to say, was the most terrifying thing I think I'd ever been through. I was never one to be a public speaker. I was never one to talk in front of big crowds at all. I didn't like talking in front of two people. But God knew where he needed me to be. God doesn't make mistakes. It's not a mistake that Shishi came to me 10 years ago. It's not a mistake that I'm up here today saying what I'm saying. Everything that happens, happens for a reason, and it's all for God's plan. And as long as we are trying to fulfill God's will, we can't go wrong. Don't think I have any more. So I'll end with saying, once again, God doesn't make mistakes. God can't steer you wrong. God cannot mess up. We just have to we have to put our trust in him. And everything's going to be all right.